down together and said, you do these songs because they will meld in with what I'm speaking about perfectly. Honestly, he forgot to send me the songs this week. So I came in this morning and said, oh, sorry, Vic, I forgot to send you the songs this week. I was like, oh, yeah, it'll be fine, you know, no worries. You wait till you hear what I'm talking about and what Cam prayed about. And my heart was just going, bang, 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 bang. Yes, yes, yes. It was so exciting. So bear with me as I get over my excitement and get over my nerves and just actually get into this. Because what I wanted to talk about this morning, Sue asked me to kind of have a little bit of a talk about the plans we've been doing, the prayer plan and the getting into the word plan. They have been so good for me. I'm not a very self-disciplined person, so exercise and things like me, if my friend doesn't say, do you want to come for a walk? I don't go because she hasn't asked me to go for a walk. So I find with my prayer times and my quiet times, if I know that I'm doing a plan, makes it so much easier. And I get so much more out of it. So what I was looking at today, if we put the first slide up, thanks, Evan, is that whole point about us being a new creation. And when we accept Jesus and say, and you know, that's the simple part. You say, yes, I believe that God is the God of the universe and he created everything. Yes, I believe he sent his son to the earth and he died for my sins. Not just for the sins of everybody, but for me personally, he died for my sins and he rose again on the third day for me, okay? And I am a new creation because of that. So because that happened, because of his gift, that free gift, I am a new creation. And if you look at 2 Corinthians 5:17, this is the verse that it says that. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. That's pretty amazing. I didn't get baptized till I was 27. I've talked to you before about how I'm a slow learner and I have to process things really slowly because it doesn't always sink in straight away. And as I said before, Angie's my business partner and she has all these great ideas and I go, I have to think about that. And then the next day or 2 days later, I go, yeah, that's a great idea. So it takes me a while to process things. But this, to me, is amazing, that fact that once you have said, yes, I believe those things that we just said, the sinner's prayer, if you want to call it that, whatever it is, that new old life has gone and your new life then begins. And I think that's pretty amazing. So when they talk about, I always used to think that born-again Christians were really weird. You know, when people used to say that to me, oh, yeah, I'm a born-again Christian, I used to think, oh, you know, they're those ones that go, you know, dancing down the street with the tambourines and that kind of thing. And I had this concept of that's what meant to be a born-again Christian. I can even remember once I went for an audition in a band when I was about 17 or something, and I knew a little bit about God then because I'd been going to church a bit. And I was showing a guy some of the songs I'd written, and some had, you know, God references. And he goes, oh, are you one of those born-again Christians? And I went, no, because I thought that meant you were really flaky. And now I think, no, I am. I'm a born-again Christian and I'm proud of the fact that I'm a born-again Christian. So 2 Corinthians, we are, our old life is gone and new life has begun. I have to do this up and down today. I need those ones that do the both things, don't I? I think part of our problem when we do that, though, is we accept that we don't live as if we are a new creation. And this is what Cam was talking about this morning. Go, yes, yes, yes. We still hang on to a lot of our old things. And that's really difficult to get that in your head that God has made you a new creation. You're not that old person anymore. And that doesn't define who you are. So if we go on to slide number 2, Romans 4, 7 and 8. And this is our memory verse for this week for our Bible group. So let me just see if I can not look at it and remember it. Oh, the joys for those whose... Oh, I'm going to not do it now because I'm nervous. Oh, the joys of those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, the joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. And then in my head I've got Romans 4, 7, 8, because that's how I remember things. But, yeah, I've made it into song. I have to do that with memory verses. It's the only way I remember them. So in my head it's a song, but on there it's paper. But that's true too. If once you have been that new creation, you don't need to hang on to the old things because he said that your disobedience, your sins are put out of sight. And I really like that idea because, as I said, I didn't get baptized till I was 27. There's a lot of things that I did in my teenage years that I don't even tell my mum about now, even that now that I'm, you know, and she's Christian, I'm a Christian, because I look back on that and think, what were you thinking? And you know what? The enemy loves to bring those things up to your head, doesn't he? Every time, especially if you're feeling a bit down, he goes, oh, yeah, remember when you did this? Remember when you did that? All the things that you think, no. And I'll tell you a bit later about my thing for that now when that happens. So we need to remember that. We are a new creation. Don't hang on to the old, because God doesn't. He puts those sins about away and says, okay, that was you then. This is you now, looking good. And that's basically what he's saying. If we go on to the next slide, I love this one too, Jude 1:24. And I remember Rory once saying, go back to old verses you know that you've read before and ask for a fresh revelation. And this was a huge one for me because I'd never done that before. And I went back and looked at this verse and it was just, you know how you'd get sometimes verses just punch you in the face and you start crying, you go, oh, this is amazing. And it's this one. Now, all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you great joy into his glorious presence, with great joy, into his glorious presence without a single fault. There's so much in that verse. All glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away. That's good. Okay, so when you're walking with him, when you're reading the word, when you're praying, he is able to keep you from falling away. I love that bit. And will bring you with great joy. So I just had this picture, and I shared this once before in here, you know, of getting to heaven. And there's Jesus. Let's just pretend, Cam, you're Jesus. Come stand here. I know you don't feel like Jesus, but just pretend Jesus. He's got the ponytail, so it's kind of there. So let's pretend he's Jesus, and we'll pretend Rod is God, all right? So I get to... Actually, we'll do it the other way around. You can be me, and I'll be Jesus, okay? Do you feel better about that? All right, so Vicky gets to the gates, and Jesus goes, oh, I'm so pleased to see you. Come with me, come with me, come with me. I'm going to introduce you, or show you, present you, because you are faultless, you are perfect, and here is God. God, this is Vicky. And that's what that verse is saying, that when you get to heaven, thanks Vic, when you get to heaven, he is going to present you faultless before the glory of the kingdom with amazing, you know, I just think that's pretty sensational, that we're going to get to heaven, be perfect, yay, no more, you know, aches and back problems and anything like that, be perfect, be presented as perfect to our Heavenly Father. That's pretty amazing. Now, the other side of that, of course, is that when you get there, you're going to have to give an account of your life. And that used to bother me, that those two ideas, that your sins are forgotten and out of sight, but that when you get to heaven, you have to give an account. Now, I'm not a theologian, haven't been to Bible college. I don't understand that properly, but this is my take on that. So I want you to imagine you get to heaven, you've been presented, and God says, right, let's have a look at your life. And there's this massive big screen behind you, and all of heaven's sitting there watching it. And everything from your life is going across that screen. Yep, Ruth, yep, that face is what I did too. Like, oh no, cringe, cringe, cringe. But you know, we shouldn't be looking at that in that way. We should be looking at it and going, and his grace was bigger than that. And then the next horrible thing comes across. And his grace was bigger than that. His sacrifice covered that. And his sacrifice covered that. All of the horrible things, his grace is bigger than that. And that's the way that I look at it, that yes, our sins are forgiven and put out of sight. We will have an account. Everything will be there for us to see. But when we've asked for forgiveness and we've asked to be a fresh and new person and we believe that, we can look at that with confidence, go, yes, his grace is bigger than that. So I could be wrong. You can come up and tell me later, no, that's not biblically correct. This is what it should be. And you should. Whenever anyone preaches to you, you should go away and look at the word yourself and go, I'm not sure about that. Let me investigate. And you can test it out yourself. But that's kind of my take on what that actually means. And I was thinking about that the other day and I thought, won't it be interesting when Billy Graham goes to heaven and is presented to God? What an amazing person, what an amazing man, what a life he's led and how many people he's touched. Think of that conversation. Then think of the conversation Stephen Hawking, who also passed away recently, is going to have when he gets to heaven. That's going to be an awkward conversation. Not such a good conversation. Again, such an incredible man, amazing brain. His idea was that Christianity is for those who are afraid of the dark. That's what he said. Did you see that on Facebook the other day? And then someone else put, atheism is for those who are afraid of the light. And I thought, yeah, that's true, you know. So I thought that was really good. So I can imagine, well, I can't imagine what that new movie is. I can only imagine what that conversation would be like. So we've got this new life. And I think sometimes when you're a new Christian, I know I did, I thought that becoming a Christian and having this new life was a list of do's and don'ts. And that's what Christianity meant, was that you had to do these things, you're not allowed to do those things. And it was this constant battle between pride and guilt. So you're either feeling proud that, yeah, I did my Bible study today. Yes, I helped the old lady across the street. I spoke to that person who I don't really like, but I spoke to them in love. And then you've got the guilt of those past things when the enemy goes, who do you think you are? And no, but remember you did this. So you've got that constant battle, I think, between pride and guilt. So when we're looking at that kind of idea, that's what happens when we try to live by the law. And in the Old Testament, they had the law because that's all they had. They didn't have Jesus to forgive them their sins. They lived by the law, and that was how God gave them a way to live. But we don't have to live by that law anymore. We're living in faith that we believe that we don't have to be religious anymore. It's all about relationship with Him, not about obeying a set of laws and rules. And when we continually have that battle between pride and guilt, pride and guilt, pride and guilt, and that whole idea of I'm useless, I'm worthless, I'm pathetic, it's kind of like saying, yes, Jesus, you died for me and that was really nice of you, thank you, but it's not quite enough for me. So every time you're allowing that guilt to kind of wash over you and we're wallowing in that, oh, I'm hopeless, I'm pathetic, I will never amount to anything, I'm not the person that you want me to be, that's the enemy for a start telling you that. And it's basically, that's what it is kind of saying, that your death was not enough for me. Might be all right for someone else, but your grace is not enough for me. And we need to live in the fact that His grace is sufficient for us. As I said, you know, all those things that go across that big screen up the back there, we can go, yes, His grace was bigger than that. Yes, His grace was bigger than that. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Next slide, please. Romans 5, 1 to 2. And this is that whole idea again about we're living by faith, not living by the law. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. And that's the crux of the matter, isn't it? It's because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us that we can have that peace. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And I love this next bit. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. It's not like a, you know, if you obey the law and if you do the right things, then maybe you might get to be with God. It's because of our faith and because of what Jesus did for us that we can confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing in God's glory. I think the next thing I wanted to have a look at, so we've got that new you, and hopefully now we're kind of getting the idea of what that new you needs to be. Then the work begins. And I think that's another thing that's been a big journey for me, that I sort of thought, okay, I'm a Christian now, beauty, and sit back and wait for all the good things to happen and all the blessings to happen, and that's all I need to do. But it doesn't kind of work that way. And that's where, again, for me, these plans are so valuable, being able to look at and being guided through, what does prayer mean? What does getting in the Word mean? And how does that all work together? So working on the new you, Colossians 2, 6-7. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow Him. And that's an active thing. It's not just, you must now sit in your chair and wait for things to fall in your lap. It's you must continue to follow Him. Let your roots grow down into Him. Let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. It's a this and then this. So sometimes we wonder why our faith doesn't move mountains and why our faith doesn't do what we want it to do, because it says here you need to let your roots grow down into Him. Let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. and you will overflow with thankfulness. And it's true, the more you spend time with God, the more you get to realize what the promises are, what the blessings are, and what he has in store for you. And the thankfulness and the faith grows from that. The next verse, if you have a look, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Depend not on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Again, seek is an active thing. It's not just stand there. If you're playing a proper game of hide and seek, not mum and dad with the kids and I'm tired and you just go hide game, but the real game of hide and seek, you actually have to physically go and look for that person to go, yep, found you. You can't just sit there and... I used to do that with my kids. Did you ever do that? Like, we'll play hide and seek. Off you go. Go and hide and I'll count. Reading my magazine or whatever it is that I'm doing. And, oh, I can't find you. And yeah, that's not what he means when God says seek. No one else did that? Oh, good. Phew. My terrible parenthood showing through. Yep. Ronnie, you telling... Yep, you did? Yep. Oh, yeah, yeah. Perfect, perfect. So this whole idea of seek, it's an active thing. You actually have to get off your butt and do something about it. And that's this whole thing of not working for your salvation. That's free. No one can take that away from you. But if you want to have that deeper relationship with God and find out what he wants for you in your life and get all those blessings that he's promising, you have to know what they are. And to know what they are, you need to read the word and you need to be in prayer with him to find out what they are. That's, as I said, that's the importance to me of the group Bible study, the personal Bible study, because God speaks to us through his word and through others. So many times that over these plans over the last few weeks, I've got amazing truths from other people and think, wow, I didn't even think of it that way. So that's how we let our roots grow down. Now, I hope you don't mind, but I'm actually going to pull out a few of the things that people wrote in the plans that I really liked, that I thought, oh, yeah, that really spoke to me. So if I read someone's out and you're going, oh, no, that was mine, that's a good thing because I heard what you said and I went, yes, that's great, that's fantastic. So from Linley, she said, we have to intentionally position ourselves to engage with God as we read, like we would in any interaction with someone. It's an intentional thing. Cartier said, God's word is our guide for our life on earth and into eternity. It's not only our way of life, but if followed, it's a light to others around us, and that's important. Rachel, the word is Jesus in print. I love that. Jesus in print. Within these pages, I get to know my bridegroom. How cool is that? Cameron, quoting from Jeremiah 23:29, God's word will break away the things that are not of him. There is power in the word. B, and I love this one, God's word is the light. So hold on to the word each and every day. Through the word, we can help people who live in darkness. So simple, but such a fabulous concept. Maria, the Bible is God's love letter to us. Natasha, when we look at Jesus, we see God. When we see Jesus, by looking at scripture. So reading the word is our best way to know what God is like. Kevin, I love this one too. The Holy Spirit is with us all the time and helps us to achieve what is required by our Heavenly Father. The Holy Spirit is what God has given us to be our constant guide. Not just every now and then, our constant guide. Ron, I have the Spirit of Christ living in me. The same Spirit that moved at God's command and created galaxies and molecules and butterflies. He is powerful beyond my understanding and he loves me. Cass, the Spirit gives life. God's word gives life. And Brenda, singing scriptures can be used for praising, worshipping, warfare, and even in sorrow. The Lord knows what we need. And that was just a few of them. There were so many. I wrote heaps of them down in my little book thing because I just love it. And that whole idea of God speaks to us when we do our quiet time and then also through community and how important that fellowship is to be able to find out and learn more from other people. And again, if you read something you think, I'm not sure about that, then you go and test it in the word yourself and work out what you think that's meant to be. Now, Sue talked last week about when her old Sue creeps in. If you were here last week, she talked about that and how when she was really shy. So, and, you know, the things from her past would come and creep back up her and say, who do you think you are, you know, leading a church and praying and teaching and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that whole old Sue creeping back in. And I think, and we talked about this, the better you get to know God, the less those thoughts creep in because you know who you are in him. I had the same thing. I mean, my husband's not a Christian. Both my kids made a commitment when they were little, but neither of them go to church now. And the enemy loves to do that to you, doesn't he? Go, oh, who do you think you are? You know, your kids don't even follow God. Your kids don't walk with God. Your husband's not a Christian. Who are you to stand up there and preach to people and tell people stuff? And we're learning a song at the moment, and we'll put that next slide up. And we'll hopefully do this in a couple of weeks' time. But it's a powerful song. And it's my kind of like little weaponry song whenever the enemy's got to get having a go at me lately. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And I love this bit. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. You rescued me and I will stand and sing. I am a child of God. So whenever the enemy has a bit of a go at me, and he does that, doesn't he? Sometimes when you're having a really good day and you're suddenly like, bam, I'm going to pull you down. Or when you're having a really bad day and it just makes it worse. And that's my little enemy song now. So when that comes up, I can do that in my head. And when we learn it, you'll see why, because it's such a powerful song. And that's, you know, my little bit of worship again. As Brenda was saying, using worship as a weapon is really, really good. So that's my little weapony thing there that I use there. Next line, please. Next slide. This was a quote sat down to lunch the other day. I never watched TV during the day. And 2 days in a row, I sat and watched TV. And one day, it was perfect for a friend of mine that was going through some horrible thing. It was Hillsong TV or Christian TV or something. And I wrote it all down and sent to them. And they said that was exactly what they needed at that time. Don't you love how God does that? And the next time, it was this, and it kind of blended in with what I'm doing. The voice you believe will determine your future experiences. So you have a think about that. The voice that's in your head, the voice that you believe, is the one that's going to determine your future experiences. So we go on to the next slide. You need to choose whether you're going to listen to the voice of the enemy. When you know, the Bible tells you, the voice of the enemy, his only purpose in your life is to steal and kill and destroy. He wants to take everything that you hold dear, everything that you think is important in life. He wants to kill it. He wants to destroy it. He wants to steal it, take away. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to do all of those things. And if you're listening to the voice of the enemy, that's what happens. So if you're listening to those negativity and when he does those little niggles and, you know, sits on your shoulder and speaks in your ear, that's what his aim is. And it works. When he's having a really good go at it, if you don't fight that, that's pretty powerful. But then you've got the voice of God who says, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. And that's the two voices. So it's that almost like a conscious decision when you hear those negative thoughts of the enemy coming through, go, no, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear, to negativity, whatever. I am a child of God. And that, you know, the psychoanalysts and everything will tell you you have to do this standing in the mirror and say, I am beautiful, I am beautiful, I am beautiful. Stand in front of the mirror and go, I am a child of God, I am a child of God, I am a child of God, and see what the power of that can do for you, as opposed to the psycho stuff, bits and pieces. So the voice you believe will determine your future experiences. Next slide. You don't need to focus on the storm around you. So you've had your past. There's nothing you can do about that. Your past is your past. You can't go, oh, I wish I hadn't done that when I was 18, or I wish I'd waited for this and all these sorts of things. Your past is your past. But you can start and go, but now, and move on from that but now moment. So God, as it says there, God doesn't always fix the storms in your life. And we know that because sometimes we go through things and we go, yeah, that's enough. That's enough now. And it keeps going and it keeps going and it keeps going. So he doesn't always fix. And to me, that's kind of part of the whole, you know, original sin. The world is disintegrated. There are consequences to actions and there's crappy things in the world, and you know, bad things happen to good people, etc. But we have a different way of looking at it. God doesn't always fix the storm. Sometimes he wants you to teach you to fix your eyes on him in the middle of the storm. And I love this too. Your fear is powered by your focus. If you think about your fears all the time, it plays over and over in your mind, and you're giving that fear power. Your faith is also powered by your focus. If you're giving your focus to your faith and to God and to building that faith, and how do we build our faith? By prayer and by being in the Word. If you're going to build your focus on your faith, so much better. So you need to choose which one you're going to feed, whether it's going to be your fears, whether it's going to be your faith, and choose which of those voices you want to believe. And if we go on to the next slide, we want to live in that victory. So we've become a new creation. We've figured out a little bit about what that means and how we take that journey. And now we want to live in that victory and have all the blessings that come with that. Deuteronomy 7:9, understand therefore that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations. That's a long time. And lavishes, love this, lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands. I always think of lavishing when you know you lavish a dessert with lots and lots of cream, and that means heaps and heaps and heaps and heaps of cream on your pudding. So this idea to me of lavishes his love on you is like just, you know, pouring out heaps and heaps, and that squirty bottle's just going, and there's all this wonderful love that he's lavishing on you for those who love him and obey his commands. So this is our God. He is faithful, keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations, and lavishes his love on us. And we can live in that victory. I kind of think that we... And this is a weird way of putting it, but we owe it to God to be the best we can be. Okay, so he has made the sacrifice. God gave us his only son. And when you're a parent, that strikes home. Gave you his only son to be spat on, to be pretty much tortured, to be hung on a cross, all of these things for you. So pretty much we owe him to be the best we can be. If we've made that commitment to him, we should be aiming to be the best for him we can be. And Andrew and I went to a conference last week, and that was really good. There's lots of things in there about being the best you can be in wherever you are. And one thing they said which I loved was the calling of being a missionary or a pastor is no higher calling than being in business. It's no higher a calling than being a farmer. It's no higher a calling than being whatever it is your job is. If you feel like you're in the place God has wants you to be, then that's where you need to be and be the best you can be. And that calling is just as high as anyone else's. He doesn't have these levels of holy and levels of hierarchy of who is more spiritually... You know what I mean. There is no hierarchy. Everyone is the same in that. So if we're living in that victory and understanding that we owe it to be the best we can be. And the thing is too that he gives us everything we need to be the best we can be. Again, going back to through prayer and through the word and through the gift of the Holy Spirit. So it's not like we have to try and be the best we can be on our own and under our own steam. And the more you're in the word, the more you're praying and the more you're listening to the Holy Spirit, the more likely you are to know where he wants you to be. And as Cam said, that having that quietness and listening for what God wants you to do. That's been a really recent thing for me, and it's amazing that being quiet and still and listening and the blessings that that brings is quite phenomenal. And as I said, slow learner, takes me a long time to learn these things. You know, you'd think that I got baptized when I'm 27, I'm 57 this year, it's taken me that long to learn that. So it is a really powerful thing. So there's no conditions on his side. There's nothing we have to do except take that gift that he gave us. But we should want to take that gift further and be what he wants us to be. And I was thinking about what's a good way of explaining this. Are there any foodies here who like cooking, enjoy cooking? A couple. All right, so just imagine that someone gifted you this beautiful kitchen. So it had really nice countertops. If you ever watch those American ones, they go, oh, it's got really nice granite countertops and, you know, this kind of thing. So it's got beautiful countertops. It's got your Thermomix and really easy instructions for how to use it. It's got a pantry full of every ingredient you could ever want. Everything there, it's all beautifully ready for you, and someone says, I'll give this to you. So you can just sit there and look at that kitchen and go, oh, that is beautiful. That is really nice. Or you could get into that kitchen and make some really nice food in that kitchen and share it with all the people that you love. Where's the greater joy? In sitting and looking at it or in sharing it and doing something with it? And to me, that was kind of like what that idea is for being the best you can be. Taking what he's given you and using what he's given you to share and to gift to others. And that was another thing that, you know, on this business thing that Andrew and I went to, you build your business, you build what you can do so that you can build into the lives of others. And that was really powerful too. So, on to the next slide. Deuteronomy 1:21. I love this verse, and I kind of have this verse for our church, because I just think that so much has been promised and so much has been given. And I think this is for us at this time. See, the Lord your God has given you the land. Go up and take possession of it. As the Lord your God of your ancestors told you, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. I believe that he has given us Manjimup, Bridgetown, Pemberton and Northcliffe. But we need to get up and do something about it. We don't sit and wait for the blessings and for the people to walk in our church. I love what Cam is doing at the moment. So his vision or idea that God has given him is for the youth. And he's not sitting here waiting for youth to come to church. He's going to the schools and he's meeting them there. So he's getting up. He's going. God has given him that land. He is going up and taking possession of it. And he's not being afraid, and hopefully he won't be discouraged, because he knows that while he's in the Word, while he's praying, while he's following the Holy Spirit, God's going to lay everything before him. And I think that's really important with that. So, last slide, finishing off. If we look at it basically a summary, I am a new creation. Once you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, you are a new creation. We need to believe that his grace is sufficient for us. There's no more of this pride versus guilt things. It also doesn't mean that you can just keep doing the wrong thing and then go, oh, yeah, God will just forgive me. I'll just ask for forgiveness again. Because if you're not asking for forgiveness with that heart that says, I don't want to be doing that anymore. I don't want to be that person. I really want to change. Then nothing's going to change. So if you're saying your grace is sufficient for me and you're putting in those changes and that effort, his grace is sufficient. That covers up a multitude of sins. Choose which voice to listen to, whether it's going to be the voice of the enemy who comes to steal and destroy, or whether it's going to be the voice of your God who says, I have got so much in store for you. I've got this abundant life that I want you to live, and I will show you how to do it, and I will give you everything you need to do it. And those are the two voices there. Jeremiah 29:13, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. You need to be looking. And again, how do you look? You get into the Word, you get into prayer, you listen to the Holy Spirit so that that's your guidance, it's there. Live in the victory he has for you and then go out and take possession. If he's put a dream on your heart, and this is, you know, This was me too. I'm sitting there going, oh God, yeah, I've had that. And I remember once being prophesied over that I was going to do great work in prisons and things. And I sat there and waited for someone to invite me to go to a prison. And now I look at that and go, I should have been out there actively looking for what prisons I could go and speak in, or what prisons I could go and sing in or take people to. But I was sitting there waiting for God to put it on my lap and go, here it is. So we need to be the people that do go out and take possession, as it says in Deuteronomy as well. So hopefully that makes sense, this whole idea of new creation, what we do with being a new creation and what we can take hold of because of that. I'm going to pray now, and then if there's, then Cardi's going to come up and do community for us and take up the offering and give a few announcements. But do you see what I mean about what Cam said this morning? and what I was speaking about, how amazing is God, how he does that, brings it all together, because this is what he wants us to do. This is what he wants our church to hear. Father God, I just want to thank you that you have made us new creations, that you do put our sins away from us, that you do wipe our record clean, that you do look at us with joy. Father God, we thank you that we can be righteous before you by asking for your forgiveness. We thank you for what you have done. We thank you that we are a new creation. Father God, I pray that you will help us to take hold of this, of the vision that you have for us, for our lives, that you will remind us to get into your word, that you will remind us to speak to you daily, that you will remind us to listen to the Holy Spirit and the promptings of the Spirit. Father, we thank you for that. Lord, I pray that as we go about this week, you will remind us of these words and bless the things that we are doing this week, Father God. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the vision of this church. I thank you that we do want to get out there, and we do want to get into Manjimup and the surrounding places, and we do want to let your people know, Lord, about you. We know how much you love them. They don't know that, Father God, and we really, really want to be able to share that with them. So we thank you in advance for what we are going to do along those lines as well. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this morning. Lord, I just want to pray blessings on each person here this morning too, Lord. You know that there are people who are struggling. You know that there are people who are in the depths of their heart, as that song said, you see the depths of my heart and you love me the same. You see the depths of my heart and you love me the same. Father God, I just pray right now that if there's anyone who's struggling with that whole idea of that I am a new creation, I am a child of God, I can stand righteous before you, Father God. Lord, I pray that you will just instill that into their minds right now, Father God. Church, I ask you to say with me right now, I am a child of God. Let's say that together. I am a child of God. Let's say that again. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. How amazing is that? Thank you, Jesus, that we can be called your children, that we are called to you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.